buy it, use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, mail, upgrade it. Start it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap it, work it, quick, erase it, write it, cut it, paste it, save it, load it, check it.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it is my great pleasure to present to you, me!
And me.
This is Steven.
And this is Chris.
And you're listening to That Computer Show, your source for the latest in gaming and technology news. Now, the C in my show notes was not capitalized. Do you think they could hear that?
Oh, dear.
Yeah? Oh, well, that was his drink spilling. Anyway, on today's Scrooge-tastic episode, we'll help you get free shipping supplies and make the government foot the bill. Boxes for everyone! Yay!
Yay!
Okay. Google scares the world with its stance on privacy, kind of, but not really. And we'll also tell you about Apple and how they are dumb.
What?
Refusing to publish someone's audiobook without restrictive DRM.
Oh.
It is the man oppressing you on today's That Computer Show, episode 116. Also, this is a good one. DSL Verizon customers. Faster DSL may burn your house down.
Oh, yeah.
I wish I had that burning down the house. I wish I had that song right now in my head. Okay. What do I want to start with? Free shipping supply. Free shipping supply. Yeah, okay. The holidays are coming, and we wonder if you are prepared. One of the things that you can do to become prepared is get shipping supplies. Because, you know, you got to send, you know, gifts, stuff to people out of state, stuff like that. And one of the ways you can do that is with free boxes from the U.S. Postal Service.
They're giving away boxes.
Kinda. If I can find the link that says that they're doing it. Hold on. Yes. The U.S. Postal Service, and no, it's not supported by taxes. Okay. If you go to the U.S. Postal Service, you can get free boxes, envelopes, and stickers. The catch is you have to send them U.S. priority mail. So you get the boxes from the U.S. Postal Service, but you have to use them through the Postal Service. Which, you know, isn't that bad, honestly. I mean, the Postal Service doesn't suck nearly as much as UPS and FedEx would want you to think. Tracking numbers aren't that great, but...
Yeah, they basically exist as in your package has shipped, and then you...
Get the package.
Yeah, you get the package, and then you get to eat the notification, you got your package. Your package was tracked.
Yes, an existential crisis from the U.S. Postal Service. But the cool thing is, you can get free boxes. Go to, USPS.com. And if you go, I'm looking on the Consumerist, and there's a couple of links here. But basically, go to the USPS.com and get free boxes. And boxers and briefs.
Arr.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay. DSL may burn your house down. Chris, did you read this?
No, I didn't, but I've heard about it.
I didn't read it either, but the headline sounded good, so let's learn about it together. Again, from the Consumerist. Basically, this gentleman writes, he has written and called Verizon repeatedly, and he's gotten conflicting information. Okay, I'm going to read this.
Is this the one back in November?
I don't know. It's dated on the December 11th. So I'm not sure. I'll link it to you. Hang on. Control C. MSN.
I remember reading about the family in Philly who Verizon came by to install Fios, their fiber optic high-speed internet, and messed it up somehow. The guys that drilled through their electrical lines in the house.
Wow. I don't know if this is that. Okay, let me go ahead and I'll read some of this. I've been a Verizon DSL customer for 7 years between two addresses. I currently have 3 meg dry loop DSL for $34.99 with no contract. It expired a year ago. 6 months back, I found out a friend of mine in the same zip code just upgraded to their faster speed 7 meg at $42 per month. I called Verizon the same day asking to renew my contract and upgrade to the new speed. I was told it wasn't available at my address, which is in the same zip code, but they can offer 5 meg for $50. Is less for more. After the runaround, I politely declined and left everything, blah, 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 blah. 7 phone calls, 1 hour and 42 minutes later. Still nothing. Basically, call number 7, he was calling to cancel the service. And the customer was like, well, you can't have 7 meg. And he's like, why can't I have 7 meg speed? I can't order it. Basically, she said, your home cannot handle the 7 megabytes or megabit speed. If I put in the order for 7 meg, it will burn your house down.
Is that what the lady said?
Yes. Quote, I kid you not, I asked her to repeat it, and she was 100% sincere. Ordering 7 meg DSL for my house will cause my house to burn down. She offered me the 5 meg per service for my same price, $34.99, if I renewed my contract, which is less than what he was quoted originally. At that point, I was flabbergasted by her comment, not taking her seriously anymore, and into the call.
Oh, wow.
Flame on, Verizon. I mean, listen, the service is hot, all right?
Yeah,
that's,
I mean,
good speeds, right? But
no. I'm just thinking those ones and zeros, like, they come in too fast, too hot.
Just nah, man, nah.
7 megabits is just going to get too... I love the image of the burning
of the house there,
too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that must be some 7 to 10 megabit internet connection speed there. Wow. Oh, wait. Wasn't it 2 weeks ago I had 15 megabytes down?
Is it megabytes or megabits you
have? Megabits. Yes. Still, it was fast.
What is that noise? You're eating candy, Leviticus, and we can hear it. The mics are hot today. They might be 7 megabits hot.
Something like that.
I hope we don't burn that computer store down. Whew. I make sure my insurance is good. Okay, so in related news... Apple and Audible refuse to sell authors' audiobooks without DRM or abusive licensing agreement. Again, from the consumerist. Okay.
So basically, this guy is... Apple's not going to publish this guy's audiobook because he doesn't want to lock it down to where people can't copy it.
Yes. Now...
Why doesn't he just give it away for free?
Well, I don't know.
Well, basically, it's kind of what he wants. He wants people who want it for free to be able to have it, but those that want to pay are
he wants
able to pay.
Use their okay. I'll read his little letter.
He should make an app for his book on the App Store, and in the app also have a link to send this book to a friend for free, and then post the book on his website. People who want to buy the app to support him will buy the app. The ones who want to, you know, just download the book itself, just have it as a PDF on his website.
Okay, reading this article, it basically looks like Apple and Audible want to have legal coverage to prevent the end user from copying or distributing the book or converting it to other formats. And that's where their problem is. Of course, that's kind of what he wants. He wants people to get the message. Apple doesn't want people to get the message unless they pay for the message. Are we reading that right?
I don't know.
Okay. For my next book, Makers, we tried again. This time, Audible agreed to carry the title without DRM. Hooray! Except now there was a new problem. Apple refused to allow DRM-free audiobooks in the Apple Store. Yes, the same Apple that claims to hate DRM. Okay, we thought, we'll just sell direct through Audible. At least it's a relatively painless download process, right? Not quite. It turns out that buying an audiobook from Audible requires a long end-user license agreement, EULA, that bars users from moving their Audible books to any unauthorized device or converting them to other formats. Instead of DRM, they accomplished the lock-in with a contract.
Huh.
I came up with what I thought was an elegant solution, a benediction to the audiophile. Random House Audio and Cory Doctorow, the copyright holders to this recording, grant you permission to use this book in any way consistent with your nation's copyright laws. This is a good EULA, I thought, and as it stands up for every word, to conquer, blah, 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 blah. Random House said cool, Audible said no.
Nay. Nay, so, say I. Nay, and then I use my chamber pot.
Wow. Funny I got a story about chamber pots later on in the show, kind of. But, DRM is bad, man.
It is and it isn't.
Well, okay.
It is when it's being used to hinder you from using what you've purchased... the way you want to use it. for example, if it's almost to the point where companies now are telling you what you can and can't do with the music you download, mm-hmm. with the movies you download, and other products that you download, like the books, e-books you download. It would, if you think of it in a different way, imagine if you had a ball that you could only hit with authorized bats. You know?
Yeah.
And the company comes down on you going, you cannot use that bat to hit that ball. You're violating your policy.
Well, what's worse is it's not actually your ball. You're just licensing the use of the usage of that ball.
Well, we're going to come and take your ball away because you're not hitting it with a bright bat.
Wow.
Okay? So, yeah. It does hurt your brain. If I download a song on iTunes or Magnatune or whatever.
You legally download it.
Yeah, if I download it, if I pay the buck or whatever, $1.29.
Amazon.com sells music.
Yes, you got to plug them. I want to be able to not just have that music locked into my notebook. I don't have my notebook with me everywhere I go.
Yeah.
My notebook doesn't plug into my car, so I can't listen to that song in the car. I don't take my notebook home every day, but if one of them sitting at home and I want to jam out to that song.
You know Amazon.com sells music without DRM?
I want a song without DRM. I want to be able to have it on my notebook, on my Android phone, and in my car, and at home. I paid my dollar for that. If I went and bought the overpriced CD at Best Buy,
yeah,
I can take that CD and make an MP3 for my computer, take that MP3 and copy it on my phone, and that way I have it with me anywhere I go. I don't know if I'm violating any of their EULAs or whatever.
Yeah, you probably are.
I know that I bought the rights to listen to that CD.
Only when standing up.
And facing north?
Yes. In the place where you live.
That's when DRM is wrong. Now, granted, if I'm an artist and I work really hard to create this music.
Right.
And I feel like, you know, since, you know, I put my blood, sweat, and tears into a piece of music, I want to get paid for it. It's heavy metal music. blood, sweat, and tears.
Yeah. Okay.
It's in this next album.
You have to be a, speak that in like
I'm working with Harkos to include an actual blood sample sweat, in here. Yeah. It's really fruit punch flavored. Just wait till we work on the sweat energy drink.
You heard it, Harkos.
Yeah, sweat and tears.
Oh dear.
Comes a little 2-pack.
Oh dear.
if I work my butt off and create this piece of work, this art, this music, and I want to, you know, get money from it, sure, I might lock it into where you can't just take it, you can't just steal it.
Well, you want to be fairly compensated for the work that you did. Just like a book writer wouldn't want to give away 10 million copies of his book. He would maybe want to, I don't know, sell each copy.
Exactly. So I can understand it has its place, but in a lot of ways it's very restrictive and is not used in fun ways.
Wow.
It's usually used to make us all have sad faces.
DRM is bad, okay? Okay, I'm going to switch gears because we had a little bit of a rant there. And I if you listen to the show, you know DRM really gets... It's a bee in our bonnet in a lot of ways because of its... just... Ugh. Anyway, Google is taking some heat right now. a comment made by Google CEO Eric Schmidt has brought the dominant search engine some negative press, as reported by Device.com, and has some eyes in high places turning towards Microsoft's decision engine, Bing. Now, this is interesting. In an appearance on CNBC, Schmidt said the following. If you have something that you don't want anyone to know, maybe you shouldn't be doing it in the first place.
You almost have his voice dead on. If you see the video...
No, I haven't.
He's wearing glasses, and I swear at one point he pushes them back.
Pushes them back. He's got some tape. If you really need that kind of privacy, the reality is that search engines, including Google, do retain this information for some time, and it's important, for example, that we are all subject in the United States to the Patriot Act. And it is possible that all that information could be made available to the authorities. Translation, if you're looking for porn... Beware, you're going to get busted by your wife, mother, girlfriend, government.
Unless you use the Google Chrome browser with the incognito mode.
Yeah, or Microsoft's well-touted porn mode. I think they call it privacy mode in some circles, but it's porn mode.
The Google Chrome video that we watched before the show where the incognito mode was demonstrated by somebody pouring ink
in the water. Yeah, this is a cool video. We're going to talk about the video. So it's a vague remark, and there's a number of ways to look at that. But kind of, man, you mentioned the Patriot Act, and a lot of people get real scared So much so that the Mozilla Foundation has given instructions on how to make Bing your default search engine.
Yes, and I'm not happy about that.
Yeah, interesting stuff. Okay, that is all for segment one of That Computer Show, and now it's time for the breakdown. We'll be back after these important, blatantly commercial messages. We're selling out for a few minutes so we can get ready for segment two. So fall for it. Buy stuff. It's good for you. Stay tuned. That Computer Show will be right back.
I'd like to buy the world a home and furnish it with love. Grow apple trees and honeybees and snow white turtle doves. I'd like to teach the world to sing with me.
About Valpak.com? It's the online version of the famous Valpak Blue Envelope with even more great offers. At Valpak.com, you could find savings for your home, coupons for eating out,
tables for two,
or maybe even discounts on gardening services. Every day is different. Sometimes Valpak.com has savings on long-distance service. Other times, you might find discounts on long-distance travel. To discover today's savings for yourself, just log on to www.valpak.com. Enter your zip code and start browsing our online coupons. Depending on when you visit Valpak.com, you might find savings on pet care, car care, or even hair care. You could come across a coupon for martial arts or save on CDs from the top of the charts. At Valpak.com, you're in control. Just click the coupons that interest you and print them out any day, anytime. So, how does that sound? Valpak.com. There are more savings online for you.
We're going to do it. Yeah.
Five dollar foot long.
That's not, no, it's five. $5. Right, no, and it's $5 for the, it's three.
It's a 5 second commercial.
Is he directing this now?
I was doing it right, wasn't I?
Everyone's loving the Subway famous $5 footlongs, and there's so many to try, like the Oh My Meatball Marinara or the Temp-Delicious Spicy Italian. $5 footlongs, all day, every day.
$5 footlong!
I'm Bernie Gowdy, and I lost more than 80 pounds using Watermark Hypnosis, right here in Columbia. I tried a lot of diets over the years and lost some weight, but I just gained it all back. Then I needed knee surgery, but my doctor said I had to lose weight first. I had a size 46 waist when I went to Watermark. Now I'm down to a size 34. The hypnotist at Watermark taught me what and when to eat. For the first time, I completely understood my binge eating, and they helped me change my habits. I have no question that I can reach my goal weight and stay there. Losing weight through Watermark hypnosis has also made me healthier. I sleep better, and I take less asthma medicine now. I had my knee surgery and even used hypnosis to alleviate pain afterward. Watermark Hypnosis works.
It really does. Call Watermark today at 750-2000 for your free consultation. Lose weight and feel better today. Call 750-2000 on the web at watermarkcolumbia.com.
It's the Onion Radio News. A company you've never heard of wants to reward you for your good credit. This is Doyle Redland reporting. Regent Financial Services, a Tampa-based company you've never heard of, is so impressed with your responsible spending and timely credit card payments that it wants to reward you with a gold Visa card. According to the unfamiliar firm's unsolicited letter to you, which is sitting unopened on your kitchen table, you have maintained an outstanding credit rating and deserve to move up to a higher spending limit with a lower rate of interest. Despite an enthusiastic closing request to, quote, sign up and go gold, a spokesman for you confirmed that you remain $8,000 in debt on your current Visa card and should throw the letter away. Doyle Redland for The Onion Radio News.
Buy it, use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, melt, upgrade it, toss it, point it, zoom it.
And we are back with more Zad Computer Show. You're listening to us live from ZadComputerShow.net as we broadcast from the Blue Room at Zad Computer Store. I have no idea why that just happened. Okay.
Yeah.
A folding Japanese keyboard. It's the key stick. And it's cool. I want one. Okay. Device.com, your source for our source for stuff. It's a keyboard.
I thought you were going to say it was a bomb.
It's a bomb. No, because if it was a bomb, then
all those alarms would go off because all these hotels have bomb detectors.
Designers Yoo-Sang Kim and Eun-Sung Park. Wow. Why are names always... Oh, wow.
Why are they so stereotypical?
Why? Couldn't they be like John and Ted Lee? Well, no.
Because if they were John and Ted, why are they having such typical names?
Yeah. We can't lose for winning.
Itsy Barbo. That's his name. Itsy Barbo and his pal Zenz and something. You can't pronounce the last little bit. It's all like, just underscores.
It's a click language. Okay. Wow. Back to that computer show. The key stick is a personal keyboard that you can take with you everywhere, never needing to touch any object that's been touched by others.
Ew.
Well, when you see some of the computers that we've had to work with at that computer store... Yeah, I'm not even going to talk about the one that's in the bay right now.
Oh, the one with the crunchy bits?
No, I don't want to say that they're biological entities. Ugh.
I can't believe you came in here telling me about that as I'm eating.
I had to tell everybody.
Baked Cheetos. He goes into what's inside this customer's machine.
Oh, it was bad. Anyway, I hope that customer's not listening. So it's kind of cool because if you look at it, you see it? It looks like a ruler that's like folded together.
It's actually kind of cool looking, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know how it works. I mean, maybe that.
But it's got the really cheesy. We didn't pay anybody for marketing logo down at the bottom.
Yeah, it's called.
We're using a font from 1987.
The Nun Bacteria Project. I think the thought process here is basically if you're Mr. Monk, you need a keyboard.
So use this, then put it back in your pocket, and so that it can be nice and warm and moist, so all the bacteria can grow.
Oh.
You'll end up having cheese on your notebook.
Oh. Yuck. Thank you. I'm so going to get you later.
Thanks.
Okay. So, how about a dual screen keyboard, a dual screen notebook? How about a dual screen netbook?
I know that it was a year or so ago we talked about the IBM ThinkPad that had the extra pull-out screen.
Yeah.
You open it up and you pull out an extra screen. I don't think I ever really even saw one, or don't know if they actually sold the unit.
This is the Onkyo. Onkyo makes this. It's the Onkyo netbook. Look at the specs; are actually pretty good. 1.6 gig Athlon Neo MV40 CPU, an ATI Radeon HD 3200, 802.11n Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, USB ports. 2 gigs of memory standard, upgradable to 4, a 320 gig hard drive.
Wait, I thought you said this was a netbook.
Yeah.
These aren't netbook specs.
Well, and it's not a netbook price either. Gigabit, Ethernet, and Windows 7 Home Premium. It's $966 retail.
Yeah, you're right.
But it's got two 10.1-inch screens that slide out. And that's kind of awesome. Like, as a designer...
That would be kind of cool.
That would be exactly. It would be kind of cool. Yeah, it's
but for $1,000 and two 10-inch screens that slide out, I could probably just get this 15.7-inch machine I'm using right now.
Yeah, but that wouldn't be as cool as. But this thing's tiny though.
Yeah, while you're unfolding your screens and getting it set up to prop that up onto a table or a lap, I'm already logged in to my shaman on World of Warcraft. Okay.
I wonder.
Are you William Shatner?
I wonder how much it weighs.
Don't tell anybody.
Is it true that you can get a Night Elf Mohawk grenade?
Yes, you throw the grenade, and everybody who in the blast radius of the grenade, they end it with a Mr. T head. I'm not kidding. Everybody,
I saw that commercial, and I'm like, really?
Everybody turns into a Mr. T foo. and you get a buff that says, "I pity the foo." It's up there, and you do pity the foo.
Is it a reusable item, or you just get one?
You go find the vendor, who is basically a night elf. He's a night elf Mohawk. He looks like Mr. T. And you buy the grenades. Yeah. Available at any starting zone. Can't camp out near the Mr. T. He hacked a service. Maybe Mr. T knows a thing or two about computers.
Wow. Wow. That's all for today's That Computer Show, because that just makes my head hurt. I'm sorry. Wow. I really don't have anything else to talk about after that.
No, granted. You have to talk about this Google Chrome commercial that we watched.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's on my list. Okay. Again, I found this on Device. I don't know where this is. It's a YouTube video series. Go to device.com. Go to page 2. Google's kooky Chrome video. The headline says Google's kooky Chrome video by Wile E. Coyote. It's what do they call it? The machine that does something that's, simple.
No, because if it was a Goldberg something.
Rube Goldberg,
yes.
Yeah. Basically, it's a machine.
Anytime I hear that name, I think of Jeff Goldblum for some reason.
Yeah, I could see that. Like his dad is the inventor of those machines.
I'm sorry, that's my impersonation of Jeff Goldblum.
It's a pretty good one, actually. Well, it's true, because with Jeff Goldblum, okay, traditionally you're not supposed to say or.
Unless you're
Jeff Goldblum, because he has taken the usage of the word or and the dramatic pause, mated them together, and he's built his entire career on...
You can have a conversation with Jeff Goldblum.
The dramatic pause.
It would consist entirely of and ums and pauses.
Yeah.
I think he's created his own language, and we just haven't figured it out yet.
Wow.
Maybe he's saying stuff in that language.
He's discussing quantum physics in the pauses between your...
Or conflict. Making cracks about the person who's interviewing them, making cracks about their mom in his own language.
And they don't
that's
even
what,
know
what, you know, that's how, yeah, they don't even know. You don't even know what Jeff Goldblum... We don't know what's going on in his mind.
Jeff, we're on to you, man. We are so on to you. Okay. Yeah, completely. Okay, so basically, this Google Chrome video does not have Jeff Goldblum in it, but if it did, it does have a lady with a harp. You notice she's in the harp.
The first couple of bits of this commercial, you just sort of see a hand and some strings. Then the second one, you see a shadow of someone playing a harp. And then one of the final videos, she's back there jamming out on that thing,
man.
Yeah,
beating down the harp. It basically shows the technology behind Google Chrome. It consists of hammers, rubber bands, indelible ink, mercury being turned upside down. Unraveling
snakes, snakes and mirrors. Smoke and mirrors, rather.
Snakes and mirrors. Snakes on a plane and mirrors. Mm. Yeah, it's a good video. Go check it out. Actually, it's very entertaining. Even if I don't really use Chrome. I do on my phone, but it's still a cool video. It definitely.
With this whole thing with the Mozilla Foundation telling you to switch to Bing, they're probably going to lose their funding that they get from Google.
You think?
They think more than half their revenue comes from Google.
But it doesn't come from Google. It comes from Google search being embedded.
Exactly. And being set to default.
Yeah.
When one of their executives tells you how to undo that, I'm pretty sure Google's going to say, hey, you know that contract that we had? You just violated it. You just broke it. So we're not going to give you any more money.
Chris, what would you do if Mozilla merged with Microsoft? What would you
do? I would be using the Chrome browser. Actually, it's pretty nice.
So, wait a minute. Okay, really? So, you would stop using Mozilla because they joined forces with Microsoft?
Well, if they did, I am almost certain that the quality of the browser would start to really deteriorate once it became part of Microsoft.
Even with the awesome innovations from Live Labs, what if Mozilla merged with Live Labs portion?
It would then just be almost awesome, and it would almost work, because everything from Microsoft's labs is really cool, but almost. Really cool. Like, it does this really cool thing, but it only works in Windows. Oh, it does this really awesome thing. And
what would happen?
It interacts with everything that's on your Windows computer. But but what happens if I want to do that on my phone?
You're so jaded.
Well, you need a Windows phone.
You're so jaded.
I don't like it.
I want to see the new Winmo phones.
I don't. No? I'll run a Winmo phone in a VM on Samsung moment.
I do, but I'm interested in seeing the new Winmo phones. But okay, right, a little bit of insight into Chris just then. But I'm wondering if Bing, if maybe there's some payoff, some payola, some dollar bills, y'all.
It's I wouldn't doubt it, especially hearing about this whole LCD conspiracy. Dun dun dun.
Yeah, LCD conspiracy. I was going to talk about that in segment 3, but let's go ahead and bust brain on that now.
Do we have enough time?
How much time do we have, Leviticus? 6 minutes! Oh my god, we got more time than we know what to do with, or something. Yeah, where'd my LCD conspiracy thing go?
Six companies have pleaded guilty to worldwide price fixing of thin film transistor liquid crystal displays, otherwise known as look-at-the-tubes. I'm sorry, LCDs. From September 14th to December 1st of 06. From 2001 to 2006, six companies got together
and said, hey, prices are going down. Let's stop this.
Yeah. These companies, a short list of these companies, Apple, HP, Dell, you know the list.
That computer store was not part of the Evil Secret Consortium, just so you know.
Nope. We didn't use LCDs. All of our machines back then used the Etch-a-Sketch display.
Yes.
So.
Mm-hmm. We're not going to take it anymore. Did we really use Etch-a-Sketches back then? I don't know.
In 2001?
That. Yeah.
I think we did have one model. It was a 9-inch. It came in red.
It was a tablet.
Yeah, a tablet.
Oh, yeah.
The input device was two knobs.
Yeah. We sold a lot of those. Yeah. Huh.
It had a one page of memory. And an easy to clear that memory. You just flip the unit over.
And shake.
And shake. Yeah. And,
it is a security feature. You could basically you could do a government level wipe.
Graphics.
You could do a government level wipe in 7 passes. did you know that Stephen Colbert tried out for the U.S. bobsledding team?
We're not going to talk about the LCD price fixing.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Sorry. We started talking about the Etch-a-Sketch. I thought we were done.
I like Stephen Colbert more.
Yeah. He also was not part of the LCD price fixing. So, okay, continue to...
All right, in 30 seconds. $860 million. Fines handed out. LCD companies are bad, okay? Cartel. They were fixing prices. You were paying too much for your look-at-the-tove.
Yeah, you were paying too much for the look-at-the-toves, people.
So, yeah.
Is that it?
There's probably going to be a civil suit, and it'll probably end up being like, hey, here's $2 off your next purchase at... insert company here,
yeah.
Which I hate those kinds of
because it's almost like free advertising.
It is. Yeah. It's like, oh, we did something really bad and we paid a big fine for it, but we're sorry. Here's some incentive to come buy more of our stuff.
Oh, mega corporations.
Anyway, so Stephen Colbert.
So Stephen Colbert joined. Last week, he attempted to join the U.S. Olympic skeleton team. fell short. And
I really like Stephen
Colbert. He's funny. Why? He tried to join the skeleton team, didn't make it. So on last night's Colbert Report, he tried bobsledding. Quote, obviously hilarity ensued. In fact, out of all the funny bobsledding-related things in history, this was the one without John Candy.
Oh.
But there's a... Look, there's Stephen Colbert. He's smuggling plums. He's wearing that suit.
Have to link that picture on the blog.
Make a note. You got Stephen Colbert's plums. Put Stephen Colbert's plums.
Smuggling plums.
I want to press play so bad, but I'm afraid of what sound will come out of my computer.
And our show will be NC-17.
Oh, there's a family of possums crossing the road. That's weird.
At one point in time today, we decided that we were going to do a radio show about technology and gaming and help you to understand your computer. But about 15 minutes ago, we decided that wasn't any fun.
Yeah.
So we're talking about possums.
Oh, that's cute, possums.
And Stephen Colbert's plum smuggling.
Yeah.
I do have a computer gaming related story.
Okay. And I do have some technology news, actually. We'll do that for the third segment.
If you had subscribed to the New York Times, remember you can't search for anything and it on Google and it show up from New York Times because they don't like you. There was a list of 10 games to cross off your child's gift list, and I clicked on it and I read these 10 games, and I think we have almost all of them installed here at that computer store, except for the Grand Theft Auto. Of course, that's not on the PC right now. That's on the PlayStation. But this top 10 list of games to cross off your child's list actually reads like a top 10 games that are selling this season.
Yeah, fun games.
Assassin's Creed, Borderlands, Brutal Legend,
Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, which is lots of fun, by the way.
Yeah, Left 4 Dead's on there.
Left 4 Dead 2.
Now what?
Yeah. Apparently, these aren't good games for you. Because now, granted, all of our systems here at That Computer Store have an age-appropriate filter, so if you're not supposed to be playing these games because they're quite violent, they will be filtered out and you won't be able to get to them. So
exactly.
For like 13-year-old kids, you cannot lob grenades at zombies.
Nope. So. Not unless your parents give you permission to. Okay, that is all for this segment of That Computer Show, broadcasting live from thatcomputershow.net. We'll be back after the break with more news. For example, man uses medieval hygiene for 2 weeks and finds out it really is crappy. Pork, the other white-ish meat.
What?
Artificial pork, yeah. Stay tuned. It's not sizzling either. Stay tuned and sit tight. That Computer Show will be right back.
This is Internet Radio. It is diverse and far more entertaining than conventional over-the-air radio. It gives you something you can't get from other forms of audio media. It gives you music you might not hear anywhere else. It gives you interesting points of view and experimental methods of production and content. It's a new type of radio. But there are those that want it gone. There are people who want to take this all away from you. They say that by hearing their product over the internet that they're getting cheated out of millions of dollars. Let's see, you hear their music and decide to buy it. How does that cheat them? You like their product and choose to spend money on it, and that cheats them how? In a free world, people are supposed to have a choice about where they get their entertainment, and your independent internet broadcaster is being threatened by big money conglomerates who demand you do it their way. If you want a free internet radio community, you need to take some positive action now. Not tomorrow, now. Send an email to copyinfo@loc.gov. That is, copyinfo, copyinfo, @loc.gov. Tell the Librarian of Congress that the World Wide Web is for all people, broadcasters and listeners alike who are entitled to enjoy this new technology without the threat of the extortion that the big money music interests are proposing. Small internet broadcasters simply cannot afford to pay an inflated per song per listener fee, and you want the free expression of music as art to remain just that, free for all.
Have you heard about Valpak.com? It's the online version of the famous Valpak Blue Envelope with even more great offers. At Valpak.com, you could find savings for your home, coupons for eating out,
table for two,
or maybe even discounts on gardening services. To discover today's savings for yourself, just log on to www.valpak.com. Enter your zip code and start browsing our online coupons. So, how does that sound? Valpak.com. There are more savings online for you.
Another public service announcement from Brill Cream. Men, beware. Use one dab of Brill Cream. Just a little dab makes your hair look excitingly clean, disturbingly healthy. This man dared to use two dabs. Now he's in trouble. We refuse to be responsible.
Brill Cream, Brill Cream, Brill Cream. Brill Cream, a little dab will do ya. Brill Cream, you look so debonair. Brill Cream, the guys will all pursue ya. They'll love to get their fingers in your hair.
Hi, I'm Dr. Frederick Mall, co-owner of Watermark Hypnosis. It's 2009 and we're celebrating our third anniversary in our location right here in Columbia's Vista. I started Watermark because hypnosis works. I lost 45 pounds and got rid of chronic back pain myself using hypnosis. And we're excited that our satisfied clients tell their friends and family about their successes.
Watermark hypnotists are nationally board certified and hypnosis instructors. They have the credentials and experience you can count on to succeed.
We're not an out-of-town act. We don't do a one-time show in a hotel room and then leave town the next day. We live here and we're committed to seeing you succeed. You can rely on our professionalism and expertise.
Call Watermark today at 803-750-2000 for a free consultation. Watermark Hypnosis is the local name you can trust to help you lose weight, stop smoking, reduce stress, improve your golf or tennis game, and develop more positive, healthy habits. Call Watermark at 750-2000 or visit us on the web at watermarkcolumbia.com.
A giant metal bird devours hundreds. It's the Onion Radio News. I'm Doyle Redland. A 200-foot metal bird, known only by the markings on its flank, which read British Airways, swallowed 204 people through an opening in its side this morning, then disappeared into the sky. President Clinton attempted to calm the nation.
To the families of the victims of this fierce metallic winged creature, I can say only this. Our nation's finest scientists currently believe the mysterious beast is a messenger from an angry god, and are developing powerful new chants and spells that might offer us protection from its mighty wrath.
The beast was last seen in Chicago, and experts believe it's headed for the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Doyle Redland for the Onion Radio News. Pick up the Onion at your newsstand or visit theonion.com.
Buy it, use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, melt, upgrade it, toss it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap it, work it.
That computer show is back on the air, trying not to throw up. I was going to talk about an article here that was very intriguing, but I then read it and kind of threw up in my mouth a little. Viceland.com, there's an article on surviving for 2 weeks using only medieval hygiene technology. Wow. Nothing before the Age of Enlightenment. And I thought, okay, this is going to be funny. But the guy was brutally honest. And from chamber pots to methods to deodorize your armpits, I can't talk about this because, Chris?
Some of it's pretty bad, man.
Yeah. The funniest part, however, was when we went to page two, the gentleman apparently attempted to deodorize his chamber pot with slices of orange.
At the same time, someone in the blue room used some kind of Purell or something.
Some hand sanitizer, unbeknownst to Chris and I. So as we're looking at this picture of basically poop soup.
And oranges.
We start smelling oranges. And freaking out. I'm like, what do they do to my computer? Okay.
It's the new USB 2.0 smell-o-vision.
It's poo.0. All right. Here's one for you. And my dear, dear friend Tamara is going to be so excited about this. We are all familiar with Jane Austen and one of her fabulously famous novels, Pride and Prejudice. Few people are aware of the equally well-written sequel, also by Jane Austen, with some assistance from another author, Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Which actually, it's funny, I heard a reference to this book on Law and Order Special Victims Unit.
It was in Law and Order Special Victims Unit.
Belzer's character said something about it.
There's also, in another recent primetime show, somebody was reading it. It might have been Flash Forward. Anyway, it's required reading. It is actually fabulous. It's really good stuff. But there is going to be a movie starring, and this is the real bomb of awesome. Pride and Prejudice is going to have, what is her name again?
Natalie Portman.
Natalie Portman is going to be in Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
How can you forget Natalie Portman?
It was actually for effect. It was, oh, okay. It was a setup.
Yeah,
really awesome. So, yeah, right. She not only is a delicate flower in the book, she kicks some serious tail killing zombies. So, look out for Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. I'm looking more forward to this than I probably am Avatar or Avatar the Last Airbender.
I'm confused again.
One is a movie about blue aliens controlled by Marines. The other is about a kid who farts. He's bald and he's reincarnated.
Oh, I know. One's Airbender, Windbreaker. And the other is
Sigourney Weaver, James Cameron.
Somebody puts on a lot of makeup and CGI and falls in love with a blue chick.
It's interesting. Basically, these Marines are on another planet called Pandora, and they take over these aliens. Like, they, I don't know if they, I don't really know. Basically, they become the blue people.
And supposedly,
and it's awesome.
Hard to please Robert Egbert. Ebert.
He's fried.
Yeah, weebles wobble, they won't fall down.
Did he like it?
He loves it.
Wow!
I quote him saying, I'll have another coffee.
Holy
please.
Beep!
Watching Avatar, amazing. I felt sort of the same way I was when I saw Star Wars in 1977.
But wasn't he stoned when he...
We all were. I mean, no, I was only two.
I was like a year old, yeah.
I was only two, but man, that was some good stuff. Oh, and I figured out what they're saying in that Christmas song that you and I couldn't figure out what they're saying. All I want for Christmas is my...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I figured out what they're talking about. We can't talk about it on the radio.
Oh, Irie, man. Yeah, that's what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So... What? I have no idea what
that is the second time you've knocked over that can.
Okay, oh, it's a law. Yeah, so...
it's not a suggestion, it's a law.
Yeah, man. Happens to me all the time. Robert Ebert likes it.
Wow. Well, I'm going to check it out. I will check it out. Interesting, interesting. Okay, this is very, very good advice. An important service announcement. Do not pee on a cop.
Oh, you're going to go... Yeah, okay.
Do not pee on a cop's head.
While drunk.
I'm going to say while sober, too. I'm just going to go out on a limb. I don't think that the sobriety is really going to help you if you pee on a cop. You got problems.
Unless you're another cop.
That's a whole other episode of Dr. Phil.
I've been watching Cops on My 63 late at night.
When, yeah?
Yeah. And just wow. People, things people do.
Okay. I have to read this.
Go ahead and read the story.
Okay. It's bad enough that Daniel Schultz was so drunk that his car struck a pole at a Wisconsin gas station and then nearly backed into a police car. It's worse that once he was arrested for drunken driving, he took a pee in the back seat of the squad car. But here's the thing, Schultz also managed to pee on the head of the officer who arrested him. That's something he managed not to do in four previous drunken driving arrests. It also rated a felony charge, expelling bodily substances at a public safety worker.
I didn't even know that was a law.
Oh, wow.
But now we do.
Now here's the thing. He copped a plea and he's not even going to go behind bars. He's going on probation. 3 years probation.
For peeing on a cop's head?
Yeah.
How do you cop a plea? I mean, what are your...
He copped a pee.
What are your bargaining options there? Admit that you peed on my partner's head and we won't put you in federal pound me in the rear prison. I don't know. Did you hear the news about Michael Arrington's crunch pad? We talked about this a while back when the crunch pad was announced.
No.
Well, it was this 12-inch tablet that didn't have a keyboard. It was going to be Wi-Fi, 4-gig hard drive or solid-state drive. It was going to be really cool. Boot up real fast, have nothing but a web browser on it. Well, Michael, when he was working at TechCrunch, he basically said, this thing's just, it's dead. He
can't do it.
You can't do it. The crunch pad is just done. In fact, he declared tablets dead, so there's no sense in it. Well, TechCrunch decided to stop the project. The product never went to market, but the Chinese company that was commissioned to produce the product, Fusion Garage,
made it anyway.
It's coming out on Friday.
They made it anyway. Awesome. They're like, yeah, I know this is your invention, but screw you. We gonna get paid.
Yeah, it's like, well, we came up with this. You came up with it. You asked us to build it, and then you're going to kill it? No, we're going to build it. Wi-Fi, 4-gig SD, 5 hours of battery life, weighs 2.4 pounds. It's called the Juju. It can be pre-ordered. It's $500, which was double what the original projected price of the Crunch Pad was going to be. Don't really have any other technical details other than that.
Can you linky me that? Because I want to buy one. I want to buy one just to look at it.
I know you like tablets.
I do. I'm using a tablet right now.
And we just sold your other favorite machine.
Yes.
Just got rid of it.
Somebody, and he's very excited. Sad. He's happy with it. But all right. Yeah, I want to read up on that. You found that on Device?
Mm-hmm.
Sweet. Okay. How about pork, the other whitish meat?
Go on.
Okay, you know the world is in turmoil, right? Climate change, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
Yeah, we've heard about that. Read that. There was an article.
I got those emails.
Yeah, apparently, some people are attributing... Okay, they're basically saying as technology, as the population grows, there's going to be more people who are going to want to eat meat, but there's going to be less availability of meat because, well, climate change, less arable land, more people, blah, blah, blah.
We need to genetically modify plants to make meat.
Even better, genetically modify animals to make artificial meat.
If it's growing in an animal.
Yeah, it's really weird. Okay.
Is it really artificial meat or just more meat?
Scientists in the Netherlands have created artificial pork grown from the extracted stem cells of a living pig.
It's just more pig. It's just not on a pig.
But yeah, it's artificial pig, basically. Such a product could be on the market within 5 years. Research suggests that cultured meat would reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 90%, making it a viable alternative to real meat that can successfully reduce livestock greenhouse gases, basically animal farts.
I've read this before in a book, a Larry Niven book, I believe.
Really?
Where they grew meat in factories, and they even grew replacement body parts.
Well, it's interesting that you mention that, because there's actually a popular role-playing game that has those exact same. It's not a new premise in science fiction.
I'm pretty sure your role-playing game got it from the Larry Niven novels.
It's possible.
The Known Universe series and stuff like that.
How old is that?
60s?
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, so eating artificial meat might require a cultural shift, blah, blah, blah. The products don't precisely resemble your favorite cut of meat. The pork produced in the Netherlands, for example, has been described as soggy. Yeah, so artificial meat, people. Really? And, wow. So, yeah, it's artificial meat. Stephen Colbert is smuggling plums. Why on my screen? Oh, did you hear that General Mills is going to make kids' cereals slightly less unhealthy?
Really?
Yeah. Okay. You know, they got in trouble for claiming to prevent swine flu. They've always said that they're part of a healthy breakfast. General Mills and Kellogg's are reformulating their sweetest cereals to contain less sugar. Yeah. The Rudd Center recently published a study that found the least healthy breakfast cereals are often the most frequently and aggressively marketed directly to children. Sugar frosted sugar bombs. You know, stuff like that. And I had Corn Pops and Lucky Charms for breakfast today, man. So
didn't you mix them together or something?
I ate them in the same bowl, but yeah. General Mills markets to more children than any other cereal company. 6 of the 10 least healthy cereals were made by General Mills. They basically are making the move in a reaction for consumers. Desire for less sugar rather than a response to criticism. Yeah, I always thought Apple Jacks were too sweet, too. This guy says something about that. I don't need Apple Jacks.
They were good. I remember eating them as a kid.
Yeah. Rice Krispies treats. Or just Rice Krispies.
Two of my favorite cereals of all time, Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
A good one.
And Cracklin' Oat Bran. It may sound weird, but they're like little oatmeal cookies.
You know what they also are like? They're like little...
they look like dog food, but they taste like oatmeal cookies.
Okay, I'm hoping right now that my sister...
Oatmeal cookies! Oatmeal cookies!
I'm hoping my sister is listening right now.
That's such a great song.
I'm about to tell the world. I'm going to confess to the world. How much time do we have? I got a confession to make.
I thought you weren't able to do that on the air.
Huh?
Don't talk about that.
When I was young...
Shh.
We had... What was the one that looked like dog food?
Oh, yeah. You told me this.
I told you this. What was it called?
Cracklin' Oat Bran.
Cracklin' Oat Bran. Yeah. I once, in response to some of my sister's shenanigans, and she did some mean things to me, in response to my sister's shenanigans, I switched Cracklin' Oat Bran with the dog food for our Great Dane, Hannibal. And I don't think she has ever found out. So, Betsy, I fed you dog food. I'm so not getting a Christmas present. It wasn't a whole lot. It was like half and half. It was because I knew if I put all dog food in there that you would know. So I put some.
Wow.
I love you, sister. I'm so screwed. Yeah.
So time.
I feel so much lighter right now. There's a weight as it's been lifted.
Time magazine just did their top 10 of everything 2009, and they ranked the Motorola Droid as the number one top 10 thing of 2009.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. It's a good phone. It really is a good phone. But Google has taken over the world. Yeah. Goodness. That's pretty much all I've got to talk about today. Now that I've revealed that, you guys got to understand that my sister, as an example, once, oh, here's the music. Once she said that she would give me $5, and I was like 8 years old. She'd give me $5 if she could crack 5 eggs over my head. $5 when you're 8 years old is a lot of money. So I'm like, hell yeah. So I sit down, and she cracked the first egg, and it's messy. It's gross. These are big eggs. Cracks the second one. I grew up on a chicken farm, so we had plenty of eggs. Third one. Cracks the fourth one, and I just close my eyes, and I'm waiting for it. The fifth egg and my $5. 8 years old, waiting for that fifth egg. I am 33 years old, and I'm still waiting for her to crack the fifth egg so I can get my $5. She walked away. She basically cracked 4 eggs on my head and walked away. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the end of that computer show for this week.
There's a lesson there, ladies.
There's a lesson there. It's clever. It's diabolical. We'll be back next week with more of That Computer Show with less eggs. Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Hit us up during the week at thatcomputershow.net to get downloads, blog posts, past episodes, and great ways to cook up eggs. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at TCS Joe. Until next week, this is Steven.
And this is Chris.
And you have been listening to
That Computer Show. Scroll it, pose it, click it, cross it, crack it, twitch, update it, name it, read it, tweet it, print it, scan it, send it, fax, rename it, touch it, bring it, pay it, watch it, turn it, leave it, stop, format it, buy it, use it.